My name is Richard Purinton, and I'm with the Washington Island Ferry Line. We're in Detroit Harbor, Washington Island, Wisconsin.
And Washington Island, right off the tip of Door Peninsula, and that's the thumb?
It would be the thumb of the state of Wisconsin, considered the thumb. If you were to look at a map, we would be just off the tip of that thumb, about 4.5 miles.
It's interesting how the Midwest up here, they always have the mitten and the glove and the thumb.
Michigan has the mitten. We have, I guess, more of a fist with a thumb. It's one way to describe it. It's a limestone peninsula, limestone bedrock, and Washington Island and the surrounding islands are also limestone bedrock with a very thin layer of topsoil.
Interesting history in modern times on Washington Island. Talk to us about the first pioneer settlers and why they would choose an island.
I think that goes back actually to the voyageurs who met with Indian tribes to trade on these islands. Rock Island in particular, just to the north part of our township, was one of those areas. But then the settlers who came in first were Irish and German, later Scandinavians, founded a place in which they could fish, farm, cut timber, do some of the basic types of occupations to make a living.
Pretty much in an environment similar to their homeland in Norway or wherever they came from.
I think there were some great similarities. And because of the number of people who came, actually Washington Island back in the 1850s, 60s, 70s was a thriving community, and in many ways kind of leading the peninsula before those other villages were built and caught up.
I think it's that inverse paradox of this environment on Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, wherever. 150 years ago, navigable waterways were the interstate. That was the most viable way to get around.
Well, you've touched on, I think, the most important point. Why Washington Island was thriving back then was because we were at the crossroads of commerce at that time for not only the sailing vessel traffic, but then later the steamship traffic. And they could easily drop into one or several of the ports, drop off passengers, mail, pick up freight, passengers, and continue on their way. So the maritime part of it was exceptionally important.
Isn't that fascinating, looking back in just America alone in history, 150 years ago, the water world was the cutting edge world.
And it remained that way for many Great Lakes ports, the small islands in particular, up to about the point where highways were developed. People began traveling by automobile and freight was shipped then frequently by truck traffic or rail rather than by vessel. And at that point, we became, for lack of a better word, a bit of a backwater.
Fascinating, kind of reverse.
Yeah.
Back to the ethnic roots of Washington Island, somebody a couple days ago said that this is one of the oldest intact Icelandic communities. I always thought it was pure Norwegian.
Well, in terms of the ethnic groups who settled here, Norwegians were probably the largest group, and that remained to be the case through the 1800s. However, 1870, we had four young Icelandic men who settled here. They were from the village of Arabaki, and the vessel that's moored over here is named for that village on the southern coast of Iceland. They wrote back to families, friends, and told them things looked pretty good here. And so 2 years later, a few more Icelanders came. And so gradually, I don't think it was huge numbers, probably 150 or something in that neighborhood of Icelandic immigrants then settled here. But you'll find many of those, some of the original names, still in our thin little phone book.
Oh, yeah, I love it. But percentage of the total island population is a pretty strong demographic, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. We currently have just over 700 residents. Back in the time when fishing, farming was in its prime, there were actually well over 1,000 people living here. So it's been a reduction since those days.
So how do people survive and live here and make it economically? Are a lot of them independently wealthy or retired or small businesses that they don't have to rely on going to work every day?
We have a sizable retirement community, people who maybe visited here for many years and looked forward to retirement here. They built a home that was winterized, made for year-round living. And then there are also many people who are born and raised here, and they've had to find ways to adjust in order to make a living, raise a family.
Even carpentry's got to slow up in the wintertime.
Yes, and that's very much dependent on tourism. So it is tourism that drives our economy today. Small family businesses. I don't think there's a single franchise on Washington Island, which I think is a good thing in some ways.
Give us some examples, some of the most fascinating examples you know of that kind of creative solution to survival, business ideas people have come up with.
A lot of it is created by necessity, but there are a few businesses that have sprung up, and one of them happens to be the farming of lavender. Lavender as a crop is certainly far from fish and potatoes, which used to be the old German, Norwegian, Irish way of doing things. There's very little fishing and farming today, but lavender seems to be doing very well. It attracts the interest of many visitors. There's a lavender festival here in the latter part of July. Now, this isn't field after field after field of lavender, but probably something in the neighborhood of 15, 20 acres. That in itself requires a lot of handwork, hand care, and there are gift shops associated with it. And
what's the end use?
It's both culinary, cooking. Which
so they do use it?
Yes, certain types of lavender are grown for culinary purposes, much more of it than I would have ever realized. But then also some of the lavender is grown because it has a great deal of oil, so stems, buds are processed and distilled, and then the oils can be sold, and that course, I think is probably one of the biggest benefits of the lavender farming.
So I presume they have like a little retail outlet where people can come on the island and buy the finished products?
Yes, there are several gift shops here on the island that are associated with those lavender farms, and then they will also package and send out products, lavender products, through websites and so forth.
Speaking of website and kind of new age technology, do you know anybody in the island that does kind of a virtual office where they can be wherever they want in the world, but they choose Washington Island?
Well, that's a good point. I think we've had a number of people over the years who have done that. A few people who are involved in trading, for instance, and I don't know much about that line of professional work, and then there are some that doing some sort of sales through the internet. But I think most of the rank-and-file islanders they enjoy living here either because this is where they were born and raised, they have relatives here. It's something that's really deep in their system, and they will do whatever is necessary in order to remain here.
I know the drill. I lived on Friday Harbor, San Juan Islands, and the Puget Sound, very similar. And what we had and have is the Washington State ferry system, which is very different from you because you have a family-owned ferry system that serves a community.
Yes, I have the good fortune. I've always loved the water and being around the water, so I have the good fortune of living and working on an island, being associated with a ferry business. It has quite a range of types of vessels. We happen to be in kind of a niche with a small, privately-owned ferry business that goes to an island.
You don't have any dinner boats?
No, we don't. We don't. We are.
Have you ever thought of that?
Yes, we have. And in the summertime, there, of course, would be that possibility. But we try to concentrate on providing a good year-round transportation. And we find that, for the most part, our resources, which are somewhat limited, dependent upon summer tourism, require that we continually put back into infrastructure, docks, piers, vessels, and also dredging. We did a fair amount of dredging here a couple years ago. So.
What's interesting is you're basically a privately owned public utility, right? You're providing a community lifeline essential service as much as electricity or water or sewer.
Yeah, that's right. It also, the word a lifeline business has been used many times to describe our company, and it's used the term capital intensive. Almost everything we do is put back into the repair and the establishment of good docks and piers and shore facilities. So it never ends. Ice, the environment always takes its toll, just the weather, and vessels always need upgrading.
Do you get any subsidies from the community, from the island itself?
No, we don't. We feel if we have their good support, and we have had that support over the years, that that's really the best that we can ask for. The community doesn't have the resources either. It's totally dependent upon summer tourism, and so we hope that our model of having good summer season for 4 to 5 months will enable us to continue to provide good transportation, even though at a lesser volume, lesser number of trips.
That's what I was just thinking about. Here it is, January, and our ride over to the island today, I know you lost money on the deal. So you're subsidized by your summer traffic, right?
Yes, and one thing that we try to do is keep rates in line, keep them as low as we can. I don't think we've had any substantial rates for 4 to 5 years now. That's intentional, trying to maintain those rates for people who absolutely need the service, but it also, we hope, appeals to people who are vacationing in northeastern Wisconsin, Door County in summer, because we are also an attraction. We know we compete with other things that people do for entertainment, so we love to see families come over to the island, enjoy a day or more, whether it's bicycling a beach or visiting a state park.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for the great day.
Okay, enjoy the rest of it.
For further information,
you can go to our website, which is wisferry.com, WISFERRY.com. You'll find our rates and schedules, also island attractions and points of interest. And I also have a blog if you'd like to read more about Washington Island.
Where is it?
It's Ferry Cabin News. Ferry Cabin News. I'll just Google it or go online and look up my name, Richard Purinton, either one.
Richard, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Washington Island, Wisconsin.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.